First Peter 1, 2. Go ahead and turn there. And Ed, do you have? Okay. Yeah. But just when you get to there, we have this up on the screen up here where you can see it. If you don't have a copy of that, we have some copies down here for you. This is the first diagram that we kind of looked at. We're basing this off of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. So for the next several weeks, you're going to probably hear the same verse. Hopefully we'll commit it to memory. We've got through two lines. We haven't got through. We're still working on these two lines. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God is the first line of that verse, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Now, listen to these. There are several terms that I just want to remind you of. There was the term transformation that we looked at in conjunction with that line, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. There's also the term conformity. Those are two different terms. To conform means you're bending your will to another will. That is being conformed to the image of Christ, as the book of Romans talks about. That's conformity. It's bending, yielding your will to His will. Now, if that's all you have, you're going to end up in crisis and disappointment because you don't have willpower enough to do that. Okay? How many of us ever made a New Year's resolution? And I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And it lasts 2 or 3 weeks and don't work out. The reason is because maybe your resolution was of a higher standard than what your will could bend to. That's conformity. The reason we are to be conformed to the image of Christ is because transformation's already taken place. Transformation's a bigger word. Transformation is a metamorphosis. It's a change from one state of being into another state of being, giving you what you need to be able to conform. So even conformity is up to God, not you. Everybody say amen to that.
Amen.
Here's what it means. You are absent of everything. You have need of everything. You cannot be fixed. You cannot be repaired. You must be replaced. Same is true with me. Now, based on that, we then went in elect according to foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit. That opens up this study into the spirit world, which is where we started here. This is the threefold nature of man. Man's made up of carnal, natural, and spiritual. There is various portals into the government that governs the carnality of man. The eye gate, the nose gate, the ear gate, the mouth gate, the feel gate, the touch, the senses. Those are the portals into the flesh nature of man. Then you look into the soul, or the natural man, which is the soul of man, and there's these portals, imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. That's what makes up the mind, will, and emotion of man, which is the soul. The Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews that the Word of God pierces asunder and divides between soul and spirit. Therefore, the things of God cannot be understood naturally. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, Paul says in Corinthians, for they are spiritually discerned.
Right.
Now that opens up this study into the spirit world. That's kind of where we're at now. If we consider the term sanctification, it's part of the process. There's three big Bible words that parallels with time frames, past, present, and future. In the past, there was justification. In the present, there is sanctification. In our future, there is glorification. In other words, I am not what I used to be, but I am certainly not what I'm going to be. I'm giving y'all every opportunity in the world to say amen, and you're not taking advantage. Justification is what happened at salvation. We are now in the sanctification process. That is, We are being set apart. We are actually, if you can hear this, set aside by the work of God in a dark world to be able to be engulfed in light. That is the sanctification process. That in itself opens up the entire doctrine of end times for us to be able to understand why we believe in what's called a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Again, I'm giving you an opportunity to shout. You should be throwing things in the air to understand that you're not going to be on earth when the wrath of God is poured out. Why? Because you're the bride of Christ. And we know that the Lord's not going to come and get his bride when he's made the bride chamber ready. I go to prepare a place for you. He's not going to come get his bride and say, hey, look, let me tell you, I'm fixing to take you to the marriage dinner, but before I do, I'm going to beat you to death for 7 years. We know that that's not in keeping with biblical narrative or biblical teaching. All that's wrapped up in the sanctification process. Now, as we go into the spirit world, we are sanctified by the Spirit. What is Spirit? Well, in our natural eyes connected to the carnal man, we can't see Spirit. Okay? We can't see Spirit. And the Bible says God is a Spirit. And if we're going to worship Him, He says you must therefore worship me in Spirit and in truth. Is that all that the Bible teaches? So I want you to put the next slide up that we talked about. This is a view of the prophetic earth. Now, in this, if you have one, if you don't have one, we got some down here. But in the view of the prophetic earth, these are the three things that I want you to see that just kind of generalize this stuff, okay? You have the earth in its generation, or that is the creation of the earth. And you have up, look at the line up above that, Satan, the anointed cherub that covereth his fall takes place. Now, there's a lot of teaching that we can do there, and I'm not altogether in agreement with the first part of this diagram, but it would take months and months of teaching to get there. Here's what I can tell you. The earth in generation, in its generation process, was created perfect. Everybody say amen to that. God created a perfect earth. You know why God did that? Because God's perfect. And anything God creates is perfection. Everybody say amen to that. So, in other words, I can declare before you that because I am a child of God, I am perfect. Joe and Greg, if you don't say amen, then the next 30 minutes is going to be about you. All right. Everything that God does in generations is perfect. But look here. At the fall of man, then we entered into what's called the degeneration process. Now look at the line up above degeneration. The prince of the powers of the air. This is attributed to Satan. It's in the heavenlies. That is the period of time we're living in now. We're living in degeneration. But here's the hope. We are headed for regeneration. Again, why are y'all missing these opportunities? You've got to wake up. All right? Don't wait till McKenzie gets up here to wake you up, because that's going to be bad. Y'all know that, right? All right, so we're headed for regeneration. But look at the lines down here under degeneration, the present age, where you have this age of grace, so to speak, where the church is. The church is caught up. There is what the Latin word is, rapatio, we know as rapture. Everybody says the word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, it is. Several times it's in the Bible. In the Latin version, it's called the harpazio. Okay? And it's typified in the Greek language and in the Hebrew language over and over and over again. So when somebody tells you the rapture's not in the Bible, well, they're just wrong. They haven't studied the Word of God. We find that Paul even talks about a time where we're going to be what? Caught up. to meet the Lord in the air. So if you see the church here, oops, I'll get there. And I'll be pain medicine after this is over. All right? The church, as we're being caught up in the rapture, that's where the judgment seat of Christ takes place and the marriage supper of the Lamb. All right? Then the church comes back. In Revelation 19, we see the church coming back, and then we enter into the millennial earth, and then the renovation, where there is a new heaven and there's a new earth. So this diagram is a brief summary of all of time from beginning all the way to end. Put up the next slide, if you would. This is kind of where we're at right now. This is about Satan, the god of this age. Here's where you get into spiritual warfare. Now, spiritual warfare is something that not a lot of people know a lot about. And there's a reason why. Most people are stuck in the carnal world. Everything is about what we see, hear, taste, smell, or feel. We come into a church. How many of us noticed that just about every church building has its own fragrance? You ever notice that? I mean, it really does. And we can almost commit to memory things we've encountered in that environment. And when we enter into other buildings that have the same odor as what we experienced in another place, automatically we're flooded back through memory of all the encounters we had in that place. Why is that so? It's because we are living most of our lives under the government of carnality. What we have evidence of sight or sound or smell or taste. Okay? If you're stuck in a carnal world, can I give you this declaration? You are in the most fake, phony existence that you can live in. Because this material world is merely, according to the Word of God, much of a digital or virtual reality. Even though this right here seems real, it's merely a digital simulation of a bigger reality. Did you know that what I just told you is not some hokey-pokey thing? It is scientific fact. Now, if you're wondering why that we can't see into the spirit world, there's a reason for that. If you take a 12-inch ruler, and I hand that to Joe Barrett, and I say, Joe Barrett, can you cut that ruler in half? What would the answer be?
Yes.
You can. You can divide it exactly in half. And because you can divide it exactly in half, you would think that you can continuously divide something in half through infinity. But you can't. It gets to a point to where when it's divided into half, it no longer has what scientists call locality. Though it exists, it cannot any longer be seen. Much is the case in the spirit world. Watch this. We live in this paradigm or this dimension, but the spirit world is in another dimension. It's in a dimension away from carnality or the government of the senses. It lives in another dimension. And watch this. What we now are is but a mere simulation of the bigger reality of the spirit world. Are you with me so far? So in this study of the spirit world, I'm going to bypass some things in order to get to something that I want to get to today. In this process of the spirit world, we have all the information we need recorded in the Word of God about it. There are three, as a matter of fact, let's just reflect on Ephesians 6 real quick. And that's not the text, but I'm doing it for a reason. Ephesians 6, you know the passage, it's very familiar. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against what we can see in the material world, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world or age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the things we wrestle against, according to Paul, are all of the unseen by the natural eye entities that carry even a heavier reality than what your body carries. I don't know whether you know this or not, but your body's just merely temporary. And why is it temporary? Because it's really not real. The consciousness of who I am has a different body waiting on me. That one day I will put on that new body that will soar me into another dimension of reality. Are y'all with me so far? Okay, so now watch this. Involved in this spirit world teaching of the Word of God, you have three main angels that's talked about, or at least that's named in the Bible. One's Michael, one's Gabriel, and one's Satan. These are the three angels that have names in the Bible, and they're a representation of a larger host. In other words, they have varying functions. Michael is a military angel. We see him at war. Many times in the Bible, we see him at war. As a matter of fact, in Revelation 12, when Satan is kicked out of heaven, it's not Jesus that does that to him. It's Michael. Michael, the archangel. And I honestly believe this. Under his command, there are many military angels at his disposal. Gabriel, on the other hand, he's more of a messenger angel. You find Gabriel giving the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist. You find him giving the announcement of the birth of Christ. Gabriel carries messages. Michael is a military angel. Then you had Satan, who is now the God of this age, according to this diagram. In Ezekiel 28, you can't see this, but all the way to the left in this diagram here, you have Satan, and right under it it says, he is the anointed cherub that covereth. That's according to Ezekiel chapter 28. It gives details in Ezekiel 28 of what the life of Satan was before the fall, or what he was. He was actually, if you can hear this, the protector and the guardian of the throne of God. Did everybody hear what I just said? Lucifer was the protector or the guardian of the throne. It was in his charge to protect the very throne of God. Now, according to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 14 gives you all the reasons behind the fall of Lucifer, and then all of the various names that is attributed to Satan throughout the Bible gives us descriptions of this person that is yet to come in the material world called the Antichrist. Everywhere you find a description in the Word of God about the Antichrist, it is directly from the character of Satan. So you get to know a little bit about who Satan is. But here's the thing that I wanted you to see, that Satan, the god of this age, is right now in the heavenlies. Now, we talked about this a little bit last week. You've got three heavens that are talked about in the Word of God. The first heaven is that you can see. The second heaven is where the angelic and demonic forces are doing warfare right now, even as we speak. Then there is the third heaven. Paul said, I was called up to the third heaven, where the abode of God is. Now, there's some interesting things that I want to call to your attention, and I want you to turn there with me, if you will, to the book of Daniel, chapter 10. We're going to read this passage, and it'll give you insight into many things. And when you get to Daniel 10, look up here and say amen real loud.
Amen. Real one.
There's one. He's in Daniel 10. How many of you?
when you got there? Such disobedience. It's really just starting to get on my nerves.
Daniel chapter 10. This is a wonderful passage. Michael is named in this passage. And I want to tell you what this passage does. It opens up for you why things are happening in Russia and Ukraine like they are. It gives you the reason. Let me tell you something else it does. It gives you understanding as to some of the stupid comments of government officials. You guys are absolutely so weak. I mean, if you can't agree with that one, I didn't put Republican or Democrat to that. Did y'all hear me say Republican or Democrat? I just said government officials. It gives you understanding as to the lunacy of some of your own thoughts. How many of you have ever done something and said, "What was I thinking?" Daniel 10 describes for you a lot of why. Let me tell you something else Daniel 10 does. It tells you what you are supposed to be doing as a believer in Christ and what your behavior does to affect the heavenlies. See, here's the thing that no one picks up on. We're so materialistic and we're so wrapped up in this material world that we think that our behavior only affects one another. In other words, oh, let's get together and rejoice and let's get together and worship. And my worship is only, here's the way we judge our worship. It's based on how it affects everyone else. Here's how I know that. How many of you ever left the church service and said, boy, did you see everybody that had their hands up? They was worshiping God and this and back here was praying. Did you hear that person shout? And it's always based on what's happening here in this material existence. Hear what I'm telling you. Your worship is of greater value in the unseen world than it is here. Did y'all know that? Please tell me y'all heard what I just said. So we're going to read Daniel 10. I want you, I need to probably ask you this question before we read. How many of you believe the Bible's real? How many of you believe it's the true, inerrant Word of God? How many of you believe that it is designed by the hand of God? Y'all remember me talking about how in the Hebrew language, if you do every 49 letters, Torah comes up in Genesis and in Exodus? And then exactly spelled backwards in Numbers and Deuteronomy, y'all, Torah. And then in the middle of the book of Leviticus, every seventh letter, it spells out Yahweh, telling us that even the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, points toward Jesus. Maybe the Torah. The books that they use from people who even deny that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, hidden in the description of the Torah, it points toward Jesus. Amen. Only God can design. Did you know that the genealogy of David is found encoded in every seventh letter in Genesis chapter 38? Did y'all know that? So every seventh letter in that chapter, it spells out Boaz. It spells out Ruth, Obed, Jesse, and then David. Hundreds of years before David arrives on the scene, encoded in an obscure chapter in the book of Genesis is the genealogy of King David. Only God can arrange a book like that. Everybody say amen to that. So as we understand that the Word of God's true, I want to read to you what it says in Daniel 10. And we got to hurry. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The timing of that is significantly important. This is about 2 years after Daniel retired from governmental service. Okay? This is under Cyrus. The third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. Y'all remember me last week asking you, do you believe God can tell you something before it happens?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Y'all believe that?
Yeah.
Has God ever shared with you something inside of your heart before it happened? See, watch. Here's how the natural world works. We call that intuition. But God does it through the person of the Holy Spirit as you yield to the Spirit in your life. I'm fixing to show you that right quick. Look at verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither cake flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Says in verse 4, and in the 420th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Euphaz. And his body was also like the beryl, and his face is the appearance of lightning, and his eyes were lamps as lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like a colored of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now look at the next verse. This is extremely important. Everybody that knows that you're saved, wave up here and say, I know Christ.
I know Christ.
All right, listen to this. Listen to what Daniel said. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. Did y'all see that?
Yeah.
Now pay attention to this real closely. Daniel is fasting for 21 days. And then he receives a vision of an angelic creature that we're going to know in a minute as, I believe, Michael, the archangel. But Daniel was not by himself. There was other people there. Yet only Daniel saw the vision. Now if you go to Paul on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus. There was people around him. They didn't see what Paul saw. Why? Because in the spirit of who you are, you can be flying and soaring in the spirit world, and the one sitting next to you, wrapped up in flesh, cannot see anything that you see. You with me? Did you know that's why God fashioned us to need each other? I need the Jesus that's in you. You want me to give you an odd, little weird, bizarre fact? You also need me. Did y'all hear that? I need the Jesus that's in you. You need the Jesus that's in me. Why? We're one body. Put together. For such a time as this, I stand right here doing what I'm doing. Why? Because you're sitting right there doing what you're doing. And God knew it before the earth was ever formed. God knew that this time would come. Therefore, we must trust the Father in the spirit world instead of judging everything based off of the natural world.
Hey. Yes.
So Daniel sees a vision. Nobody else that was with him sees it. Then in verse 8 it says, therefore I was left alone and I saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Are y'all listening to this?
Yeah.
And behold, a hand touched me, and he set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understood the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I've come for thy words. Is everybody listening to what I'm saying? Daniel fasts for 21 days. And he prays for 21 days. Y'all with me so far?
Yeah.
21 days he prayed and he fasted. On the very first day, his words were heard. And dispatched was a messenger angel sent to give him the understanding of what he had saw. 21 days, and here's what he says. He says, verse 13, look at it. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. And he said, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Here's the thing that I need you to everybody say, I'm listening. I'm hurrying, okay? Takes a long time to build one thing, okay? But listen closely to this now. Here's what happened. Daniel fasted and prayed for 21 days, looking for wisdom from God over what he'd seen. Received a vision, he begins to pray, he begins to fast. I need understanding, Daniel said. I need wisdom, Daniel said. When Daniel first starts praying, a messenger angel was dispatched to bring to him wisdom, to bring to him the message, to declare to his heart and to his spirit what God really wanted. But that messenger angel was held up in the heavenlies and couldn't get to Daniel. For 21 days, he did battle in the heavenlies until finally Michael, the archangel, had to come down and do warfare in the heavenlies so that that messenger angel could get to Daniel. What if Daniel had decided on the 20th day, I've had enough, I just can't take it no more, I'm going to go get something to eat. What would have happened? Listen, if you can hear what I'm saying, it was Daniel's perseverance in prayer that opened up the heavens so that the messenger angel could come. In other words, your praying, your worship, your declaration of faith does more damage in the heavenlies to demonic forces that effect it has in the natural on earth.
Amen.
Y'all didn't hear what I just said.
Yeah.
Did you hear it? See, watch this. For years I was telling Dawn this morning, do you ever have something inside of you and you know that it's real and you can't put words to it and you just keep trying to puke it up so everybody will understand it or so they can see it? That's the way I feel all the time. And so I had to learn some years ago. I've had people say to me, I don't understand nothing you say. And maybe don't. I'm not sure I understand all I say. Here's what I do know, though. I know it's important that I say it because it's not a matter so much of who's sitting out here. It's who's flying around here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, watch this. When you raise your hands and there's just really no strength, you're so depressed you can't hardly move, and you're sitting here and you raise your hands in praise to the Holy God anyway, and you say, hey, I know Jesus is Lord, and I know that I'm saved by His grace. Let me tell you what you're doing. You're breaking down barriers in the heavenlies. There are military angels that's doing warfare in the heavenlies that's destroying demonic spirits, that's enabling you to put on the whole armor of God and stand with the sword of the Spirit. That's the kind of warfare that's going on. Now here's if we can just get this up to a little bit of a literal thing. Listen to what he says. This angel said, I was held up by the prince or the king of Persia. Now, if you apply that into what Daniel's in talking about, you know, the four kingdoms that he talks about, the Babylonian kingdom, the Persian kingdom that conquers the Babylonian kingdom, the Grecian kingdom that conquers the Persian kingdom, the Roman kingdom that conquers even the Grecian kingdom. Here's what this angel said. I was held up by the king or the prince of Persia. Was he talking about an actual person? No. He was talking about a spiritual entity or principality, as Ephesians 6 says. He's talking about a principality that kingdom of Persia. Now, why is that significant? Here's why it's significant. Satan has certain, did you know, how many of you know that Satan don't know everything? He don't, he's not all-knowing. God's all-knowing. Satan's not all-knowing. Did you know that Satan can't be everywhere at one time? Not like God can. Right? When Satan presented himself before God, God said, what have you been doing? He said, walking to and fro through the earth. From one place to the other. Okay? So Satan can't be everywhere at one time. And here's what he does. He dispatches certain principalities to govern certain territories in conjunction with his psychological analysis of who is living in that area and what their cultural leanings are. And why is he doing that? He's doing that to bring a level of darkness and corruption to that society, because ultimately Satan's main agenda is not to destroy you, but to stamp out the light of God on earth. Now, you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. Did you know that that is the introduction to the text that I have chosen to talk about today? Can I at least read the text? And we'll try to get to the rest of it maybe next time. I don't know if y'all are interested in none of this or not, but again, I'm not talking about this stuff for your sake. I'm talking about it for mine, okay? And for what maybe it can do in the heavens. I want to point you to what Satan's job is as a result of everything we've talked about so far. There is a certain principality that governs, I believe, the kingdom of America. Here's something that you maybe you're aware of. I don't know. You might not be aware of this, but did you know that in America, at least governmentally, we are on a path of degenerative immorality? Right. Yeah. Did y'all know that? Everybody shake your head and say, I know that. I heard this today. Did you know that the most dangerous place an American can be is in its mother's womb? Yeah. One out of four don't survive. With all the bombs going off in the Ukraine, the most dangerous place that America can be is not on that battlefield, it's in its mother's womb. How did we get there? How did we get there? Did you know that one of the most dangerous cultural, one of the most dangerous cultural questions that can be asked in this time is, are you a man or a woman, and what does that mean? How did we get there? I was never so amazed in my life. I was going down the road the other day, and I was listening to the Supreme Court thing, and the lady that was nominated, and they asked her this question. Can you define a woman? And here's the big thing. She is one. And still couldn't define it. Is that where we're at? With all that's going on in the world, our main question to ask of a candidate for the Supreme Court is, what is a woman? How did we get to that point? Here's how we got there. It's found in 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to read this text and then I'm done. Okay, we'll pray. We'll talk about it next week. I'll just read verse 1. I shouldn't, because it's going to lead me to chapter 3, because it starts off with therefore. I mean, anytime you see a therefore in the Bible, it means you've got to look before it to see what it's there for. Okay? That's why therefore is used. But it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, and I'd like to point out what the ministry is, but it's found in chapter 3. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. As we've received mercy, we faint not. He said, but, watch, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Wow. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, that if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Look at verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It tells you everything you need to know about what Satan right now is doing. He's the God of this world, and he's sent to blind your minds, to darken your minds to truth, to cause us to walk in dishonesty. If you can bear this, and boy, I'd like to spend about a year and a half on this one, to cause you to handle the Word of God deceitfully, or to your own advantage, to justify your own thought patterns instead of taking your thoughts and validating them through the Word of God. Satan, the god of this world, is blinding the minds of people everywhere. And that is what's lending power to the demonic realm in the second heavens. There's no way that you're going to have any understanding of what I'm about to say without teaching, but maybe we'll teach it. There is a huge difference between demons and fallen angels. And when the heavenlies become darkened over a territory, it allows the ministry of fallen angels to have more power. Fallen angels can take material form. Demons can't do that. They can only oppress your mind. All of this is found in the Word of God, by the way. The most adventurous book in all of the history of the world. And we know very little about it. Because most have decided, hey, I'm saved. That's all I need to know. Now I'm just going to have fun. The most fun you'll ever have is to slip into the reality of the Holy Spirit of God. There is no greater joy or fun or adventure than that. How many of you have heard what I've said? Father, bless your word. I pray, God, that you'll take these ramblings, and put it together in something that will at least bring people to some understanding of how they need to study your word. And know your word and make us people of your word, because Lord, you said that we are to put on the whole armor of God and then pick up the sword of the Spirit. So may that happen in Jesus' name.